The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I have an in for Pat all this week. Well, the lead story in the Irish Times today from Carol O'Brien, their education editor, screams, teaching supply crisis leaves 1,847 posts unfilled. This is predominantly a problem in Dublin. The nationwide vacancy rate, so we have a total of 74,611 teaching posts. The national vacancy rate is 2.5%, which seems okay. But when you get to Dublin, it's a multiple of that. Well, obviously, while we're on school holidays now, won't be long till September comes around. And we're joined on the line by Paul Crone, Director of the National Association of Principals and Deputy Principals. Welcome to the programme. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Ivan.
So give us a profile of exactly what the problem here is. You just deal with post-primary, do you?
It's just post-primary, that's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's about 730 post-primary schools in the country.
Okay, talk to me about the vacancy rate.
Well, I suppose over the last number of years, it has been very acute, and there's been a lot of actions taken, and we have seen some of those measures are taking effect now, and there certainly are more applicants for jobs this year, and the signs are promising. Yes, there appears to be pinch points that are developing, and particularly in Dublin and in larger urban areas and in quite remote areas, that are finding it difficult to attract teachers, and particularly in some subject areas, they're finding it very difficult to get teachers.
So, such as home economics, is it? Yeah.
Home economics, engineering, physics can be sometimes difficult to get. I know that there are a number of additional courses that have come on stream, but they haven't delivered teachers into the system just yet, or they'll be arriving this year or next year in some of those. And we would hope to see that will relieve some of the pressure. But it doesn't take away from the cost of living in Dublin, which is not attractive to a lot of teachers, and they're still struggling to attract teachers to stay in Dublin.
Yeah, I actually think the problem is even worse at national school level. Like, I'm aware of a number of Dublin primary school, both large and small schools, that when they advertise posts, they actually don't get any applicants. It's a complete disaster.
Yeah, well, we had that situation over the last number of years. Now, the recruitment takes place generally in post-primary, takes place in June and in August. So we're halfway through the recruitment process for September. And I suppose the principals are reporting that they are getting more applications, but it remains to be seen if the people will take those jobs, because they'll apply and they might apply and get offered a job in Dublin. And then they might get offered a job somewhere outside of Dublin and take that, leaving the Dublin school last minute trying to advertise for that post again in August. And what used to be a recruitment process that would end in August, it's now a full year. You're constantly trying to get teachers because of the short-term leaves that teachers and everybody are entitled to. And that's proving really, really difficult.
Now, Paul, the Department of Education says that by international standards, the pay scale for teachers, 46,000 on entry up to 85,000, compares well internationally. But the truth is, particularly in the UK, that they pay for all essential workers a London allowance. It's not just teachers, firefighters, police and so on. This is not a unique problem, that the cost of living in London is more than Birmingham or Manchester. Do you think we're now reaching a point where Deeper would have a heart attack, but that basically we should pay a Dublin allowance?
I think it is definitely something we should be considering, because we have to look at all options. Now, I get it will be more than just teachers. There's guards, there's nurses, there's public sector workers, there's all of that. It's bigger than just teachers. But at the same time, we do have a particular problem, and other jurisdictions have resolved that problem. Now, in relation to the teachers' pay and conditions, an international study done by Dr. Howard Stevenson at the University of Nottingham did come out comparing teachers' conditions and salaries European-wide, And Ireland did come out on the top of salary and for job satisfaction, and that is internationally benchmarked and available for anybody to see. So it is still an attractive profession. Teaching is still held in very high regard in Ireland compared to some other jurisdictions. And we are still attracting the top candidates into teaching. And that's possibly why some of the international recruitment agencies target Irish teachers, because we have the best teaching workforce, I would argue, in the world, with high quality candidates who are excellent. And we need to keep them in front of our students so our students benefit from them.
Now, Paul, there's a lot of different ways you can skin a cat. And the texters have been pretty sharp on the line here. I'll give you two examples. Basically, they're saying that the permanent teaching staff are finding it too easy to get time away. My daughter is a secondary teacher, just qualified, but cannot get a full-time post because of maternity and travelling teacher on leave. And another says, what about all the teachers on so-called career breaks? Off on jollies around the world and the positions kept for them when they return. What about that you got to show up?
Well, I mean, the career break argument has been going a long time, but the statistics would say that pre-pandemic, there's no more teachers on career break now than there traditionally would have been. And a teacher who's on a career break, the teacher who's replacing them is entitled to tenure on a contract of indefinite duration. So that's certainly not blocking anybody from getting a permanent job. And the situation is at the moment that our younger teachers want to travel. I suppose it's in our blood. Many schools are refusing career breaks. And what they're reporting to us is that teachers are resigning the position, because they don't value the permanent pensionable job the way we would have back in our day.
No, but there's a benefit. So, if they resign, you can create a full-time post. If they go off on a career...
create a full-time post anyway.
That lady is saying with her daughter that it's not a full-time post simply because it's a career break position. It's only a temporary position.
But a career break position accrues tenure, and you can get a permanency out of a career break replacement if you're going into your third year, which the minister has now looking at the possibility of reducing that to one. So career break doesn't block somebody from getting permanent positions.
And just on career breaks, we have a text here, I don't know if it's true or not. We have more than 5,000 teachers on career breaks. We need to refuse all career breaks unless they have very strong justification. That would solve the problem. Can you just talk us through, Paul, if someone applies for a career break and you feel you won't be able to fill the position, can you refuse a career break?
Yes, the Board of Management can refuse the career break. The teacher must apply during February, and the board will decide in March whether or not that career break will be granted. And very often, if they feel that there's no chance of getting a replacement, that career break will be refused. Or very often, the career break will be granted subject to a replacement being found, and they would try and find a replacement before confirming the career break. Because, I mean, the most important thing is that the teacher's in front of the students. But these are really good teachers, and schools will grant a career break because the value that the young teacher will bring back to the school will be huge. And the principals are hopeful that these excellent teachers will come back and settle down and put roots if they take a year or two out.
Okay. This texter says, a strong interest in this. I'm 23 years teaching at second level. In my opinion, the shortage of teachers is caused by three factors. One, the doubling of the time it takes to train a teacher from a one-year HDIP to a two-year PME. I thought they were going to do something about that they could do that too. It's also caused by the way schools are run with principals who are given total power. And three, the pension available for new teachers is much poorer than the one available for pre-2012 teachers. What's your response to those points?
I suppose the pension did change. There's no question of that. I would argue that the principal has the least amount of power in the school. They're trying to manage every aspect of the school, the human resources, the finance, the plant, the lead, the teaching and learning, the quality of what is going on in the school. And I mean, the professionalisation of the teaching qualification was was changed a number of years ago. Yes, we would advocate that year two of it should be school-based to allow those teachers to take a contract and learn on the job in the same way as doctors would do. But I suppose the professionalisation of the teaching qualification in the professional masters in education has ensured that we have got the highest quality teachers in our system. And I know there has been lots of discussion on this, on reducing this to 1 year, and I'm not sure that that is viable at this stage, but potentially valuing on-the-job learning for year two of it is something that, that could be considered.
Okay, well, a lot of listeners aren't really in favour of fast and loose on career breaks. Come on, let's be real. They get career breaks for any reason. They go abroad to get money and they come back and expect to get full years and back to their old position. Is that fair comment?
Well, they do, depending if they work, if they go abroad on a career break and they work in a recognised school in another jurisdiction, they are entitled to get a certain incremental credit for that. But in some of the, if they go away and they don't teach, they're not entitled to that. But if they, and in some privately run schools at the moment, they're not entitled to incremental credit.
Yeah, I remember Norma Foley as minister announced that in Ardèche or somewhere, that to get people back from UAE, they would recognise their increments for teaching abroad. Was that done?
No, it wasn't done. It was done. It's done if they were teaching in a kind of a state-run school that is subject to an inspection and teaches an internationally recognised curriculum. But some of the private schools are not considered recognised schools. So if the teacher has taught in a recognised school, they will get the incremental credit. If it's a private school, they don't get the incremental credit at the moment.
Paul, the fundamental problem here is the cost of housing in the greater Dublin area. Now, Pascal Taggart and others have called for special schemes, affordable housing schemes for public sector workers, and they haven't got much traction with government. The idea would be that the approved housing bodies would actually target, and they had a scheme in the Docklands, old Bowland Mills site, way oversubscribed, and that would include nurses and people in the health service and Gardaí as well. It does seem to me a housing solution is part of this.
Very much so, very much so. And principals in Dublin have been very innovative and creative from the point of view that some of them have sent a text message out to their cohort, their families, to say if anybody has a grandparent who wants to rent a room, we have teachers looking for accommodation. So to try and as well as everything else, principals have become estate agents trying to get accommodation for teachers who are coming to their school to ensure that they have the teachers. So, yes, part of the solution is around the housing crisis for Dublin.
All right, Paul, I have a rake of texts on this. It seems we've opened a hornet's nest in terms of the wider civil and public service, in terms of, I know from my own experience in the public service that career breaks are rarely refused. So many professionals that could change career fill the gaps, but no part-time PME. I've been saying this for years. What about graduate teachers by apprenticeship in the secondary system, like the Teach First in the UK? For example, maths degree to maths teacher. Well, what about some of the qualifications there for some of those STEM subjects, Paul?
Well, we have a teaching council that certifies and registers teachers. So it depends on the content of the qualification that the potential teacher would have. That will be assessed by the teaching council, and if it meets the criteria, well then it will be approved. If it doesn't meet the criteria, well then I think we're not going to lower the standard of our teachers. So it really depends on the qualification that the person has, and that's assessed by the teaching council independently.
Okay, my thanks to Paul Crone, Director of the National Association of Principals and Deputies. Thank you for joining us on the show with those insights. And Liam has my favourite text. Everyone would love to travel, not only teachers.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.